Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
See, that HD1 in San Francisco would have absolutely killed us if we had had to do that live.
You're listening to 95...
No, see, there it is. We almost heard it again. No one was going to drop
if you started,
the HD1.
That means it's 4 o'clock.
That's right. Yeah, two top-of-the-hour rejoins. Officially bends the space-time continuum.
We'll give you the 40 minutes back, Ray. How's that? We're at 6 again.
Okay.
Congratulations.
It's an Odyssey station, and don't make me turn the car around again.
Powered by DuckDuckGo, privacy simplified. Download the app. Thank you very much. All right. Got a little news for Niner fans, one and all. Field Yates is reporting that because of the Raheem Mostert injury, as we knew the 49ers were going to look over every swing and you know what available free agent, and they were also going to start scouring teams' practice squads. What I'm surprised is that they found a player on the Baltimore practice squad that they're interested in, because you would figure that the Baltimore Ravens were promoting anybody who had an NFL shot, given the injuries that they've had in their backfield already. But Field Yates says that the 49ers have claimed running back Trenton Cannon off waivers from the Ravens. So when you claim a player off waivers, I believe you can't put him on your practice squad, too. You have to have him on your 53-man. So we get back to another kind of doghousey conversation. Does this mean Trey Sermon doesn't dress again?
Not necessarily. I don't know that it means anything yet. You know, I mean, the fact that Trenton Cannon, who was the backup in Baltimore but was never considered, you know, to play in the game, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that they've suddenly fallen in love with this guy just because he's new. I think Sermon has probably as good a chance of being on the 53-man as he did before.
I mean, it would be shocking if it wasn't Trey Sermon. If they end up putting one of the two guys who's been with them for 4 days on the active roster and leaving Trey Sermon inactive again, then I think there's a real problem there.
Hey, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the mechanics of roster manipulation mean that signing someone off waivers means they got to get on your 53-man. I might be wrong on this. I'm sorry.
But not necessarily on the active, right?
You might be right. I think you're dressing 48.
You can't put him on the practice squad, but you don't have to make him one of the 53.
Right. Okay. So maybe he's not. But if he were, oh, man, what does that say about Trey Sermon? I mean, that's just not the way any running back from Ohio State selected as a high draft pick has ever been treated by an NFL team.
Targeted him in the draft. You went after him.
Traded up to 88 to get him. So in the history of Ohio State running backs, has any Ohio State running back ever not dressed for his team after being picked in the first handful of rounds the way that Trey Sermon just got passed over. I mean, it's remarkable. And now
week one, I can sort of understand it. I can buy the explanation. We saw Elijah Mitchell look great in preseason. Trey Sermon missed some time. Fair enough. If you're putting guys you signed 3 days ago on the active roster ahead of him, then I think we have a real problem.
Yeah, that's a whole different discussion, I think. You're right. And it's not like the Aiyuk situation where Aiyuk has a pedigree in the league. Sermon has no pedigree in the league yet. So he's roughly equal with Mitchell in terms of who Kyle Shanahan would value, it would seem to me.
The question for Kyle's offense really isn't what running back is going to have some success out here running the ball, because it feels like it's as plug and play a team and a position as you're going to find in the NFL. Kyle gets no names to have big NFL success in all of his offenses throughout his entire career. Where I get worried is in blitz pickup. Elijah Mitchell, if he is now this team's starting running back, and given the fact he was told that, hey, you're number two behind the number one who just had season-ending surgery, if we're just going to play depth chart math and how guys rise through a depth chart, Elijah Mitchell is this team's starting running back. In terms of handling blitz pickup, Kyle Shanahan was talking about that today at the Greenbrier. Here he is on Mitchell picking up blitzes.
It's tough. I mean, you know, the one that he threw to Debo, the touchdown pass, they brought two to the back, and, you know, Hasty, I thought, did as good as a job he could do on that. The way that backer blitzed him in the A-gap, it's a little bit of a tough situation that you can't make a living putting him in that situation too much, and it was nice that Jimmy hung in there and made the big play to kind of scare people out of that. And then, you know, he missed one blitz pickup, you know, on a play-action route down there in the strike zone. I like to say that should never happen, but it does, and definitely happens a lot more than usual in someone's first game. It wasn't something he wasn't sure of. He just hesitated a little second, and once you do that, you can't go or you run into the quarterback. So he knew it as soon as it happened, and because we came out with the win and stuff, I look at it could be a good thing because I think that'll help him not miss it again.
I mean, if Trey Sermon's looking for a way to get back into Kyle Shanahan's good graces, he's not looking at running schemes. He's looking at blocking schemes all week in practice. And he is, I mean, that's how this guy gets reps for sure coming up against Philadelphia, because you know that that's a team that likes to throw an awful lot of the kitchen sink at you. Shanahan was talking about the running back depth, and I'm guessing this question was answered before we got the news that Trenton Cannon was signed off waivers. I'd not heard it. Here we go with Kyle Shanahan talking about his backfield depth.
I mean, anytime you lose a player like Raheem, I mean, Raheem was a captain, one of the best players on our team, so that definitely hurts. But, you know, as you can see, with the way Elijah stepped up when he came in, he did a hell of a job. I had a lot of confidence in Hasty to do the same, and same with Trey. We'll get his opportunity now, most likely to be up. So we have some depth there. I think we always have, but, you know, I don't think we've gone through a year here where we haven't used all four of our running backs. So I hope to not have to do that. But, you know, after one, we're down one, and hopefully sometime this year we'll get Jeff Wilson back too. But, you know, it's always in the league that way, especially with running backs. It's next man up, and we expect those guys to not miss a beat.
Hopefully no one misses a beat. They're missing Raheem Mostert, and that guy is a huge heartbeat in this offense. I mean, I'm looking at it right now. Here's the new depth chart, freshly updated on ESPN.com. Elijah Mitchell is the one, followed by Jamichael Hasty, Trey Sermon, and Trenton Cannon is your fourth running back right now. I'm guessing he didn't look at it this way. The good news for Trenton is that West Virginia is not that far away from Baltimore. So quick, you can get hop on a little commuter flight and get to the Greenbrier.
They probably just sent a van.
Or a Falcon.
It'd have to be a hell of a Falcon.
They also signed Kerryon Johnson to the practice squad, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So that's even more. I mean, I think more than anything, Cannon and Johnson are darts they're throwing now in case they lose another guy next week and the following week, you know, they don't want to be scrambling, basically.
Yeah, they're Aflac players. Like the extra insurance.
And nothing says that one of them won't get cut in five more days, because that's another thing that teams like to do. They'll bring a guy in, they'll take a look, and then they'll go, no.
an awful lot coming up today in about a half an hour. We're going to say hello to Chris Mortensen for the first time in a long time and get deeper into week one in the NFL. One of the things that is, you know, what are you taking away from week one? Well, the NFL West is undefeated after week one. You're saying, Damon, there is no NFL West. Well, there is if you combine the NFC and the AFC. You put them together, they're both NFL division. That's the NFL West. Rams, 49ers, Seahawks, Cardinals, win, win, win. Chiefs, Raiders, Chargers, Broncos, win, win, win. That's a perfect 8-0. It's the first time since the 1970 merger in which multiple divisions have had perfect week one starts. It's the first time in the Super Bowl era that two divisions are undefeated in week one. Is there a harbinger of things to come there? I don't know. It's just a really nice start for four teams in both divisions. But it does feel like this is as well-coached and well-quarterbacked side of football as the middle, all the teams in the Midwest, if you will. Sorry, Kansas City, you're in the West. So, you know, and the East Coast would – I mean, how many teams would just straight up trade their quarterback for the grab bag of quarterbacks out of the two divisions that I'm just talking about? Like, you know, the Giants are making that deal. I think the Eagles maybe make that deal. I wouldn't be surprised if in a few weeks we're watching Carolina fall out of love with Sam Darnold and want to make that deal. Tampa is sticking with the guy they got. Green Bay is going to stick with the guy they got for at least 15 more games, although that's off to a terrible start. But
16. The question is whether he's going to stick with them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that door is not really up to Green Bay to decide at this point. That guy looks checked out. He really did. And, I know that he does like a weekly with the Pat McAfee show. Like, you want to talk about a dude who's just like, I don't care. I saw a little bit of that interview today. He is just, you want to talk about not worried about losing like that? He did not look. And I understand Aaron Rodgers is Mr. R-E-L-A-X. I get it. I know that's who he is, and it's the demeanor that he wants to put out there. But there is an element of too cool for school that I'm picking up from this guy. And I think he's like intentionally putting that down. We will find out. Aaron Rodgers is either going to rally and become Aaron Rodgers when he steps out of the telephone booth and he's got the cape back on, or this is a kryptonite situation in Green Bay.
Well, the Lions are whatever the opposite of kryptonite is.
Dr. Feelgood.
So, there you go.
So, an awful lot coming up. Chris Mortensen not too far away. There is a massive opening on the West Coast on one of the biggest West Coast football teams, college, professional, it does not matter. They're searching for solutions at USC. I want to talk about that when we come on back. I want to talk about what it means to have USC either back on the map or if they fall off the map for another coaching cycle. What could that do to the Pac-12? It could be disastrous, not just for USC, but for the entire Pac-12. So stick around. Damon Ratto and Kolsky here on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download it. Discover hundreds of new exclusive music stations that are available now. Sports fans, music fans, by sports fans, by music fans. You're going to dig it. Check it out. The all-new Odyssey exclusive stations on the Odyssey app, brought to you in part by Macy's, Geico, and Coke Zero Sugar. Damon Ratto and Kolsky, 95.7 The Game.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
In about a half an hour, a Mort Report. Chris Mortensen will be joining us. We're looking forward to that conversation. In the meantime, I want to have a little bit of a conversation about what's going on down in Southern California. Now, I know you're going to want to lean into the microphone and talk here, Lucas, but just let us get through it, make some notes, and then you can recap the whole segment, all right? This is very near and dear to our producer's heart, Lucas. He is a man of Troy. And look, Urban Meyer went on the record today. What's that?
Boy of Troy, perhaps? I don't know.
Oh, no,
Lucas,
that's all.
Degenerate.
All man. Lucas, you're all man.
How you know that is disturbing to me.
I got a mustache.
Dude, that guy's got facial hair. Look at that. He's got Brandon Crawford hair.
Lucas is a degenerate.
Now, hold on. How dare you? Lucas has Brandon Crawford length hair. There's a difference.
I know great hair. That's great hair.
It's about as greasy, too.
Ooh, see? I told you to stay off the mic. You're only hurting yourself here. So, look, Urban Meyer went on record today saying that he has no interest at all in the USC opening, so we'll just file that under. We'll see. I don't know whether to believe that or not. The NFL might chew and spit Urban out more than his desires to leave. Who knows? He's a good coach. We'll find out if it all works. But Urban aside, let's just be totally honest with what USC is. USC, in their darkest day, in their worst hour, in the most embarrassing fashion that they could find themselves in, is still one of the single greatest jobs in American coaching, if not worldwide coaching. It's a monster job. It's a monster job. Any level, any sport, head coach USC is a big deal. Always has been and always will be. Wrong hires, bad seasons, it doesn't erase the fact that all collegiate West Coast football begins with a USC conversation and should probably end there too. All due respect to Oregon. That almost doesn't even feel. Yeah, go ahead, Grandy. Pump your fist. I get it. This is a huge moment in time, though. I mean, heavy is the crown, right? And USC bears the crown of the Pac-12. I don't care what else has happened or what team is trending in whatever direction. Heavy is the head that wears the crown. And this is a massive moment in time for USC as it relates to the Pac-12 conference, which we all know just had Larry Scott preside over one of the worst media deals and rollouts ever seen in modern times. He has made his conference harder to find than easier to find in the internet era. I mean, what a colossal disaster of a commissioner that man was. It can't
be
understated.
It's unreal when you say it out loud.
It really is. Hi, we're the Pac-12. And even though the internet was literally invented on like four or five of our campuses, we don't even know how to do that well. I mean, it's a disaster. They get a deal done that makes sure they're not on DirecTV, which football fans have because of the package and the ticket. And they're trying to make deals for 9 a.m. kickoffs, which is basically saying TV is more important to our actual campuses. It's just Larry Scott, how he could have done a worse job. Like if the SEC were allowed to hire a commissioner to ruin a conference, they would have hired Larry Scott. You know what I mean? Like it feels like a plant. He felt like a mole. This is a huge moment in time, though, because the Pac-12's place in major college football and as a moneymaker has never felt more perilous than it does right now. And with, what are we, two, three years away, Ray, from a new media deal for the Pac-12, whatever it is, if USC isn't back on track, that right there is $50 million less than I'm willing to pay today for a Pac-12 package, which even if the Pac-12 embarrasses itself incessantly at all times, it's still up hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions, billion dollars. But you can start taking huge chunks of importance out of this conference without USC being important in it in just the next few years while this deal is getting done.
Well, the Pac-12 got into this state not just because of USC, but because the landscape of fandom on this coast has changed. If you're going to follow college sports, you're going to the Midwest and you're going to the Southeast. And that's not just a USC problem. That's a geographical problem. Because the Big 12, which used to be huge, is now losing teams to the Southeast again. Texas A&M is gone. Texas is gone. Oklahoma is gone. Everything is moving to that corner of the country. So it's not just SC. SC's problem is that it used to own an entire corner of the country too. And that was just recruiting. They don't own that anymore. And it's going to take a very good hire this time and a very good hire the next time to redress that. Because when Najee Harris, just to use a most recent example, doesn't even think about going anywhere but Alabama, and he's on the West Coast, that tells you that it's not just a USC problem. It's also an Oregon problem, and it's also a Washington problem. That said, your main point is true. A weakened USC makes it all the easier for the schools that really do care about college football to come in and take the best players.
See, that's the thing. That reflected glow of USC is important to everybody. Because, I mean, if you're looking at the Power Five, like Damon just said, the Big 12 lost all of its marquee programs, essentially. I'm not even sure they should qualify as a Power Five anymore. The ACC, top to bottom, might not really be better than the Pac-12, but it's got the shining star at the top with Clemson. And so that's what's missing for the Pac-12 right now. And honestly, like, if Oregon hasn't been able to grab that national spotlight doing all the winning they've done over the last decade, it's never going to happen. It has to be USC.
Sean Salisbury, who hosts the Football Hour Monday nights with Lowe and is a frequent guest on our show and is a friend of the station, a friend of all football fans, really everywhere. Everyone likes Sean Salisbury. He is, you know, a proud USC guy through and through. And he was just basically spitting some truth today when he wrote, Sean Salisbury on Instagram dropped, "We as USC Trojans and our new head coach have to stop thinking that a 17-year-old kid gives a rip about a 1978 national title or a Heisman or a Rose Bowl 15 years ago. These kids/recruits want to know when they're going to be on TV weekly, how they get their name, image, and likeness money. They want to know if they're going to be able to play on Sundays or how they're going to be able to get to a national title. Tradition and history matters, yes, but far less to today's player. We have to stop thinking these kids even know players 20-plus years ago. They want to build a new tradition. We better find a coach who's not living in the past. That's for us former players and fans. The present and the future are what these kids care about. They know more about Oregon uniforms than they do about student body right. It may hurt our pride as Trojans, but we feel better adjusted. But you better adjust or you get left behind. We better hire a guy who's got the energy of players. Facts. Okay, I completely agree with him. And I've been saying the same thing about Indiana basketball for almost 20 years now. There's not a single kid in the state of Indiana who's got romance about 1987 Bobby Knight or Calbert Chaney. It just doesn't exist anymore. It doesn't. And I'm not indicting a new generation, but man, you see that these, like, one of the things that is like an online trend is they get a whole bunch of college kids in the room and they start showing them pictures, like pictures of legitimately famous entities. Like, I saw this today. College kids looked at a picture of Seinfeld, the cast of Seinfeld, and said, I don't know what that is. Seinfeld. They looked at the cast of Friends. Couldn't identify it. They looked at Destiny's Child, you know, that couldn't identify them. Couldn't even pick out Beyonce. I mean, it's unbelievable how disinterested in the way things were. We have in a generation that has been born with the internet where you can find out about anything, isn't interested in what happened. They're only interested in what's gonna happen. And teams that get lost in their traditions and sniff in their own farts is just the wrong way to go about selling anything to an 18-year-old kid these days. It's just the truth.
Well, but here's the weird thing. Because the dichotomy of that is almost more prevalent at USC than anywhere else. The fan base still believes it's 1978. The recruits weren't born for another 20 years. You know, they were born in 2008, and that would make them, you know, I mean, that's their target market now. The problem is the donors want 1978 back. And if you look back at the coaches USC has had, and you take Pete Carroll out of that list, and he was an accidental hire. I mean, they weren't looking at him to restore the glories of John McKay. They haven't had a coach that they could be proud of since Larry Smith, who was a guy they couldn't wait to get rid of. So the real problem at USC is they have to willingly separate themselves from the thing that holds its donors together. That's why this is a much harder thing than it seems.
It may be a harder thing than it seems, but it's not a harder thing than any other power that has to hire, you know, or former great power. I mean, Alabama was in a worse spot probably before Nick Saban got there than USC is right now.
Oh, Shula's kid killed the Crimson Tide.
Right. I mean, it just takes one good hire. Because that's the thing. Every great college football fan base is living in the past. That's what they do. That's what all big, you know, traditional fan bases do, because that's how you get the big traditions, right? You know, whether you're a Chicago Bears fan or a USC fan or an Alabama fan, you're living in the past to a degree. It takes a coach to manage living in the past with the fans, but bringing the program into the future with the players. And Nick Saban, obviously, is the best example of someone who's done that. I'm not saying it's easy to find a Nick Saban, but that is how you solve the problem you're talking about, Ray, is you get the great coach who can manage respecting the tradition for the fans and providing the future for the players.
Coliseum might be old, but it's awesome. It's a totally cool atmosphere. I walked on USC's campus just curiously and walked all around their practice facility. I was actually thrown out of it because I was in places I wasn't allowed to be. I thought, I'm like, oh, I just can't walk in here and check out the lobby and look at the. They're like, no. So I'm like, I'm with the media. They're like, no, you're not. Not today. You're wearing shorts and Birkenstocks. You're not working. Leave. They have an awesome facility down there. They've got a great, everything you would ever want to be an awesome football program. They got it. They've just found they've lost their way with a hire that just was not able to get it done. With name, image, and likeness, I mean, every single major movie studio is within a rock's throw of USC. I mean, I don't want to steal Colin Cowherd's material, but I was listening to his show this morning, and he said USC is one of the rare campuses where you're not getting like Jim Bob's local, come on down Ford truck, you know, here in Tuscaloosa, and we're going to get you that and it and do it. Beverly Hills Lamborghini. You know, I mean, there could be 8 to 12 players at USC easily making $500,000 to $1 million a year in name, image, and likeness deals. That's how big it is. I mean, if name, image, and likeness existed when Reggie Bush was there,
Leinart,
Reggie Bush would have been the single highest paid college entity ever. I mean, he was that good. He was that special. He was that electric. There wasn't a football fan in the world who wasn't watching Reggie Bush at college. And so it's just the chances to get it right feel like they still outnumber the chances to get it wrong. But it only takes one wrong hire and you can set things back. So let me run some names past you. Who would you want to fix this mess? We've seen James Franklin, who's at Penn State's name, being mentioned at the front of the line. Luke Fickle at Cincinnati. Let's see what Indiana's playing Cincinnati in Bloomington this weekend, by the way. So if Luke Fickle loses that game, no. P.J. Fleck at Minnesota's name has been mentioned. Matt Campbell at Iowa State. I think only James Franklin has got the I've got pedigree, I've got personality, I've got magnetism on this list so far. Urban Meyer with the Jaguars, he said he's not interested. Chris Peterson, if he had to step off the Washington sidelines because the stress was getting to him, you're basically saying, I feel like I could be the right hire, but I can't do it. Like if there's too much stress for you in Washington, USC is probably not the job for you. Lane Kiffin right now. This is how desperate, I guess, the situation has become. Lane Kiffin is getting 25-1 odds in Vegas, along with OAN fanboy Mike Gundy. I don't think that's happening. Dabo Sweeney's name got thrown in there. I don't think Dabo's given up the control over the Bible Belt that he gets to use where he coaches and doesn't fly nearly as well in Los Angeles. I've got two ideas. I know that a lot of people have thought of Eric Bieniemy already. Eric Bieniemy is the NFL keeps passing on him. He's from Southern California. He seems to be one of the best football coaches in waiting. I'm calling Eric Bieniemy if I'm USC. And there's one more call I would make too. I'm calling David Shaw. Calling David Shaw at Stanford and asking him if he'd like to see a pile of money that's bigger than he could imagine.
I don't think David Shaw is picking up that phone, though, because he's had piles of money thrown at him before by the NFL and has not taken that call either. I think he likes the fact that he can make a pile of money at Stanford, and it is a significant pile of money, and be left alone. I think that's who he is. So I would scratch him off the list. Would I make the call? Sure. But when he doesn't call me back, I wouldn't be offended.
I'll just throw one more out-of-the-box name in there. And It's the guy that James Franklin took over for at Penn State. Do you remember who that was?
Bill O'Brien?
Yeah.
That's right.
Bill O'Brien stepped into probably the worst situation any coach has stepped into at a major college program and really made that a respectable football team very quickly. And, you know, look, obviously you'd want Urban Meyer. If you could somehow steal Dabo, of course you'd want him. But I don't think any of those things sound particularly realistic, and I'm not so sure I wouldn't have O'Brien ranked ahead of Franklin if it were me.
I think Franklin is simply trying to angle for a new, better contract at Penn State. I mean, when he was asked about it, he said, well, I've got to go talk to, you know, the powers that be here. And you don't go to the place where you're currently working if you're planning to be, you know, lured by another job. He wants to know if they're going to pay to keep him. And I think Penn State will pay to keep him.
No, so, Sandy Barber is not going to be confused about what matters at Penn State.
No, she learned
but that football team matters at Penn State.
The name that hasn't been mentioned yet that I find fascinating is Bob Stoops. Because if he wants the job, I think it's his. Because the things that he does are the things that USC needs most. He has pedigree to keep the alums happy because he's taken four Oklahoma teams to a national championship. He's good with the media. I mean, he can charm your socks off. And if he wants to be there, he can recruit like nobody's business. The only problem with Stoops is that he's 61. And and USC might want somebody that lasts for 15 years. In which case, maybe you'd rather have Fickell, or maybe you'd rather have Matt Campbell, because those are guys who have been proven to be winners at lesser programs because they can recruit the off-brand guy, and you put them in a place like SC where he's got energy and an ability to reach people that makes USC better. One of the things, though, that made Pete Carroll special was that he could reach out to, like, showbiz people. Their practices had, Will Ferrell, I mean, just to take a name, was at a lot of their practices because all those people were welcome. Pete Carroll understood that USC's assets include attracting stars. And they don't have to be stars from 20 years ago. They can be today's guys. And I think that's an important thing. I don't know if Stoops can do that. I don't know if Matt Campbell can do that. But I think the thing that SC has to get back in touch with is the fact that it's not that they're USC, it's that they're LA. Because that's the thing that Carroll brought. And he somehow knew that was going to matter to kids.
When USC...
Yeah, because...
Go ahead.
But that's... Ray's exactly right, but anyone can do that. Because it's not like Pete Carroll came in with great existing relationships with celebrities. That's the brand. The brand can reach out. The coach just has to press the button. And I would say the problem is that he's 61, and the idea that he can recruit his butt off is largely outdated. It's been a long time since Bob Stoops was killing the recruiting game.
I don't think Stoops is coming back to coaching. I think he's out. I would call Lincoln Riley, the guy that he replaced, and I would say, hey, Lincoln, Oklahoma, how great you might be, is about to go get an SEC-level ass-kicking. Maybe this is... how about this? Would you like to remain the biggest fish in the pond? Because Oklahoma is not the biggest fish in the SEC pond. Yeah, you say, well, wait a minute. Missouri showed up and won was in the title game. Okay, that was there was a lot of cheating going on, basically. But and look, there's a lot of cheating going on everywhere. We know all that. But USC really did exist in this weird place that was almost in between college football and the NFL, with all that star power, with all of Los Angeles. I mean, you had, you know, you got You got models and actors and celebrities all over the program. It really is a unique feel, and that's the feel that comes with winning, because Luke Fickell doesn't have guys crawling all over his sideline. But it's going to be fascinating to see what happens. And whether you are a Pac-12 fan who hates USC or you don't, just know that everybody's bowl of cereal gets bigger the better USC is. Period. And end of story. 888-957-9570. This, by the way, is a glorious 3 or 4 year stretch for UCLA. Boy, you got a lot to capitalize on. Talk a little bit about that too. And we are going to get back to the fact that the San Francisco Giants, I think, could possibly win 107 games this year. So stick around. Plenty still coming up. Damon Ratto and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, full service banking. Oh, Chris Mortensen. That's right. The Mort Report coming up next. And then we'll get back into all this stuff here. Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit PitchHitRun.com today.
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Chris Mortensen will be joining us in just a little bit here on 95.7 The Game. In the meantime, we were talking about what USC needs to do and really nail this coaching hire. They need to do it for themselves, obviously. They need to do it for the overall existing competitive and financial health of the Pac-12 as well. And before Mort joins us, just to put a final point on it, what an opportunity UCLA's got in front of them this year. It's turned into one of the most important seasons this team has had in a really long time. I'm not going to say UCLA runs LA, but they got an opportunity to pick up pieces normally reserved for USC right now. And, I mean, the basketball program is about to be in the top 10 all year long. UCLA football under Chip Kelly's got a real feel to it for the first time since Chip Kelly got there. So it's a really interesting time in Southern California in terms of what is going on in Los Angeles. And I know that there's so much talk about how the SEC now can just come on in. And it's not quite like that, okay? Alabama gets to go wherever they want. Alabama doesn't shop off the rack. They get designer clothes. They get whatever they want, whatever Saban wants, whoever wants them. If you're good enough to want to go there, you're going there, period. That's the way that is. So we'll get back to that. It looks like you're about to, I saw the finger go up once again. At least it was the polite finger and not the middle finger from the studio. Let me just begin by telling you that Chris Mortensen has been on ESPN for 30 years. I mean, the guy has been covering this league forever, and we're so happy to have him join us for the first time in a very, very long time. Damon Ratto and Kolsky, say hello and welcome to Chris Mortensen here on 95.7 The Game. How are you, Mort?
Good, guys. And it's plus 30 years. Of course, as Rattle knows, this is an old baseball beat guy you're talking to who crossed over to the dark side only because we decided to start a family.
Well, have you finished that family yet?
Well, yes, my wife can verify that to you. We're finished with the family.
We're just getting underway in the football season, and that was a remarkable week one. And, you know, we could start in so many different places, but since we're highlighting the fact that you've been at ESPN for so long, I know that you were tweeting about the Brothers Manning broadcast, which I rolled my eyes at a gimmick concept. I kind of roll my eyes at all broadcasting gimmicks. And then I sat down and I watched it. Chris, I with all due respect to the ABC crew, whenever the Manning brothers are talking through a football game, it feels like I got two Hall of Famers on my couch. And I think I'm going to be watching that. I saw the ratings come out. They got a smaller number than I thought they would have, but with word of mouth being almost universal praise for what they did, I was fascinated by the whole experiment, and it went off without a hitch.
Well, I was fascinated by it too, and I can't say it went off without a hitch. I mean, you know, from the standpoint that, listen, this is it. They didn't have preseason games to do, so I think that, you know, at the start, some people said at the start of the show maybe Peyton was a little hyper, and it took a while to get them kind of onto the game itself with their guest analysts. But then I noted that somebody said it wasn't a very good game that first half anyway. So I was all up for the banter. But no, I think it's listen, they'll be great. I mean, you know, I think they'll be great. Their guests are great. I thought that, you know, the guys they had on, all, whether it's Charles Barkley, you know, or Travis Kelce or Ray Lewis. And it was great when Russell Wilson came on at the end, because then you had three championship caliber quarterbacks all talking about a game that got very good as the night went on. Yeah, it's a great, it's an interesting concept. I thought the numbers would be a little bit higher too, but I think people will have their viewing habits, and they're really there to watch the game.
Toward that end, though, it is the most important thing about the future health of the Manning experiment, the network's ability to just let them be them rather than to start structuring it? Because I thought the thing that was most interesting and telling about that night for them was that there wasn't a lot of structure to it, that it was largely about just leaving them alone to do what they do. And I know that in network television, the tendency is to take something that's good and then start piling things on it. Do you think ESPN understands enough to leave them be?
Yes, I think that ESPN does understand that. And to be honest with you, when you're actually co-opting this with a guy named Peyton Manning, who is probably the most alpha dog athlete, former athlete I've ever covered, then you really don't have a choice. But I think that they're open to suggestions, you know, from our people. But it's just a matter of the logistics of, okay, how are we going to shoot this? How is this going to work? And to be honest with you, Peyton's going to figure it out, and it's even going to get better. And I agree with you, because the concept basically is that they're hanging out, watching a game, and they're going to have their conversations just like a lot of people do when they're sitting at home with friends or family, or sitting at a bar. Let's face it, they're having their own side discussions, and we're watching this, but from two guys who have won Super Bowls. And so I think I think that you're right. I mean, listen, there are many times, and I won't name the analysts, and they weren't necessarily ESPN broadcast analysts, who were just tearing their hair out because, you know, they wanted to discuss certain points in the games, things that are very insightful, but very frustrated with the overproduction. Oh, we got to get this graphic in. We got to get these stats in. We got to do this and this and this and this and this. And I know those analysts very, very frustrated throughout the years because sometimes people consider things are overproduced. I think that's where you're getting at least. And I think in this concept, yeah, I mean, you know, that's the thing. That's what, you know, these mega casts at ESPN, and I would imagine other people are experimenting with, and this is obviously more than an experiment. You know, I think that it's an interesting concept. I think people can get quite comfortable with it because if a game is on TV in front of your screen, and as long as you're getting a good enough picture you know, I think you're comfortable with the idea that we don't have to be told what the down and distance is every time, because generally it's kind of shown on the screen.
After a bit of a weird week one for the 49ers, do you view them as a, you know, contender level team that jumped out and then sort of let go of the rope a little bit and let a team back in it, but nothing to worry about? Or a team that was playing well until some major injuries and maybe now has some real problems?
Well, if I read the transcript correctly on Kyle Shanahan, the coach of the 49ers, he kind of admitted that the injuries intimidated him a little bit, so they probably had more subs in the game than they normally might have. Is that correct? Did you guys hear that the way I heard it?
Sort of, yeah. That's, he essentially said that, yeah.
Yeah, so... so, therefore, I think that was a factor. I mean, going into this season, I really thought if the 49ers could stay healthy, and by the way, that's kind of like something that needs to be discussed. If they stay healthy, I consider them to be one of the handful of teams I expect to see possibly be seen playing in the Super Bowl, because I think they're that good, the talent. You know, Chris Forster, their line coach, you know, listen, he says this is the best offensive line he's ever coached. Chris Forster has coached some great offensive lines. And then, you know, you got Kyle. You have the fact they're always going to be able to run the ball. Key is, you know, are they going to be able to, is Jimmy Garoppolo going to play at an even higher level than the year they went to the Super Bowl? Is he going to sustain that? And if they do, then they got this extra piece in Trey Lance. Yeah, I mean, then it's a matter of staying healthy. I mean, obviously, you know, you lose Jason Verrett. That's a big loss. You lose him for the season. But injuries, this is always a tough one to figure out, because the NFL, football is a 100% injury rate sport. The issue is there going to be season-ending injuries and soft tissue injuries that keep guys out longer than they should, or they try to come back early and then it turns into an 8-week injury, or, you know, or does an agent influence a player to go ahead and have a surgery and end your season now because your contract, you want to make sure you take care of your contracts. There's a lot of moving pieces in it. My bottom line on the 49ers is if they stay relatively healthy, then I think they're in the running for the big picture.
Chris Mortensen here on 95.7 The Game. It looks like Brandon Ayuk has already found himself looking at reduced snaps through week one. This was a rookie last year that the team traded up for and had a very good rookie year under tough circumstances. He was a COVID every now and then. He had a couple injuries, and he still had 60 catches, nearly 750 yards, and 7 combined touchdowns in the air and on the ground. And he's basically iced out of the week one game plan in Detroit, and it feels like there's a little bit of an icy discussion of Ayuk's place on this team coming from some of these Shanahan press moments. Have you picked any of that up?
Yeah, I have picked it up. I don't know the specific reasons, but listen, I mean, clearly when you pull a hamstring, and the NFL's kind of got a co-opting with the NFL Players Association trying to study, you know, the multitude of hamstring injuries and why, and it's a very difficult injury to come back from, and a lot of it, you know, listen, it could involve hydration, and they have all these science monitor gadgets that maybe they can help prevent them, and then maybe they can help guys recover more quickly. But then there's also the case of there may be times when a player, you know, maybe the medical staff, sports science staff, thinks it's okay to go out and practice, and the player is dubious of it. And, you know, is that Brandon Ayuk? Listen, coaches and players, coaches want players to practice, and players need to practice. I mean, you know, I think in 2011, when we crossed over to the new CBA and the shorter off seasons, I know a lot of Hall of Fame strength coaches who, by the way, we're not dinosaurs, who said it's not the football on the field in the off season that they're going to miss that are going to cause these type of injuries. And they were talking about hamstrings, the ACLs, the ruptured Achilles, and it wasn't going to be old guys, it was going to be young guys. I had a number of them forecast that this was going to happen because players need that time of just getting their body recovered from the season before. So that's why you give them time off and then going through a periodization period of getting their bodies ready for the next season. And I think we've cut that out. And listen, the owners don't care because they're getting more monies, extra games, extra playoff games. And the players like it because even though off seasons are technically voluntary, you know, they can really stay away and do less, but at the cost, I think, of some of these injuries we're talking about. I don't know what the answer is, but I know that guys I consider some of the best of all time actually forecast this new world we're in of injuries and managing it. And hopefully they figure it all out.
Chris Mortensen on with us here on 95.7 The Game. And let me welcome everyone to your 4 o'clock hour.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.